her life was very successful. So I hope that's really what people focus on rather than the tragedy of her life. In the end, she's still very much with us. She's still very much a part of the success of keeping mountain gorillas alive.
That's Anita Silvey, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. With her latest book for National Geographic Kids, Anita Silvey completes a trilogy of biographies about female researchers who chose to study primates. The two previous books are Undaunted, The Wildlife of Berute Mere Galdikas and Her Fearless Quest to Save Orangutans, and Untamed, The Wildlife of Jane Goodall. Anita Silvey joins us to talk about Unforgotten, The Wildlife of Diane Fossey and Her Relentless Quest to Save Mountain Gorillas. Anita, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Give us an overview of this book. What are readers going to find here?
Well, it is, to begin with, it's a biography of Diane Fossey, who was never trained as a scientist, and it took her until she was about 32 years old to figure out that what she wanted to do is study wild mountain gorillas in Africa. In Rwanda was where she ended up. And so it's the story of her life, but also, of course, it's about the research, what she found out about gorillas. So there's an enormous amount about, there are enormous number of pictures of gorillas. You find out, for instance, that every gorilla has a different nose print. So you can look at all the pictures and realize that how could you identify the gorillas if you were out in the wild with them. It tells us about her methods, about what she discovered, and then also what's her lasting contribution, because when she arrived, there were only, in Rwanda, there were only, in the mountains of that area, there were only 275 mountain gorillas, and that's a population, you know, getting perilously close to extinction. And today there are over 600, and the numbers are increasing every year. And all of that has to do with the effort she set up, and then things like the Diane Fossey Fund, the people she trained in her camps, and the people who have carried on her work into the 21st century. So it's a success story in terms of animal conservation, and it is really a look into the human insight into what kind of person might be willing to go away for 18 years and live in the wilderness just because they loved gorillas.
Well, I want to talk specifically about her life and its tragic end in just a bit, but let's talk a little bit more about those gorillas that she cared so much about. It's encouraging that the numbers are increasing, but that doesn't mean they're not still facing threats. So tell us about the specific threats that are facing mountain gorillas.
The main problem that Diane encountered were the poachers in the area who would come in and kill the gorillas and take their heads and hands and sell them as trophies. And there weren't in that area a lot of natural predators. It was the human predators who were the danger. She became absolutely passionate about trying to do something about that problem, to get the government to help her with that problem, to get other people in the area, get the native population in that area concerned about this, to try to make sure that the regulations were kept. This is she was working in a park, and yet the barriers of that park were violated all the time in terms of people coming in and grazing cattle in there and doing other things, intruding upon this small gorilla population. So she becomes really, you know, virtually obsessed with how is she going to protect them? Because by this point in time, they're really her family. I mean, she really thinks of these as her children or her uncles or her aunts or whatever relationship they have to her. And she really wants to protect them. So she has to use a lot of techniques. And they still in this area have to use a lot of techniques to try to make sure that that population grows rather than diminishes.
You mentioned earlier that there were different techniques that they would use to try to protect the gorillas against the efforts of the poachers. But there reached a point in Diane Fossey's career that because of her passion, she stepped over the line and started to take the law into her own hands.
Yeah, at first she just did things like the cattle would be wandering in from over, you know, into the gorillas' areas, and she would paint, you know, the cattle. And then she started to shoot bullets over their heads. And then she actually went and captured cattle. And then she actually, at one point in time, she abducted a child from one of the families that was harassing her gorillas. And many people were appalled. I mean, Jane Goodall said, you know, I mean, we all said to her, you can't do this. You can't take the law into your own hands. You know, you can't be a vigilante posse no matter what you feel about them. But as Jane said, she wouldn't listen to us. I mean, that we all told her, we all said, you know, you really can't behave this way in another country. And by the way, it's not her country. You know, she's not a citizen of this country. She has no legal status here at all, really. So she did make an enormous number of people very, very angry. And when she was murdered, I mean, one of the things that nobody could figure out who it might have been, because there were enough people that she had angered that it could have been a large number of people. It is a murder still unsolved to this day, but most felt that it happened because of some of these actions that Diane took.
This is a story of inspiration. It's also a story of tragedy. And you've written this book for a particular age group. For what age group is this book intended?
I think 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. I always think that's the age I write for. I know parents who take my other books and with 1st and 2nd graders, and they look at the pictures. You know, you can just look at gorilla pictures if you want. You don't have to read the story. But I think to really understand it, you need to be closer to that kind of middle grade student, because it is it's the story of a life, and it is a tragedy at its heart.
As you review the life of Diane Fossey, what do you think are some of the life lessons, some of the inspiration that young readers can take from her life?
Well, I think that the main story is about what it means to find, no matter when in life you find it. You know, it doesn't have to be when you're, you know, 16. I mean, you can find it later if you want. When you find something that you really care about and that you're really passionate about, and you're willing to do whatever it needs to be done to follow that passion, you can make an enormous difference in the world. And although Diane Fossey isn't with us, the point is she set into motion all of the things that are now used in that area to preserve the gorilla population. I mean, one of the things that they learned early on was that a kind of contained ecotourism, you know, you bring 6 people into an area and you let them spend, you know, a few hours with a gorilla family, can be a tremendous boost, because they go back to wherever they're from and they suddenly become an advocate for these animals. They also had to start to do a lot of education in the area and to bring in all of those who lived in the area to do tracking, to do animal research, all, by the way, which the Diane Fossey Fund does. So even though she herself didn't necessarily have the tools she needed to work within this population, she set up institutions that gained the tools they needed to work within that situation. You know, it's a success story about maintaining a large gorilla population, a larger gorilla population than we have. Her life was very successful. So I hope that's really what people focus on rather than the tragedy of her life. In the end, she's still very much with us. She's still very much a part of the success of keeping mountain gorillas alive.
As you mentioned earlier, she came to look at these gorillas as part of her extended family, and one in particular, Digit, she was very fond of.
Yeah, Digit was her favorite. She named him because he had one finger missing. He had been caught in one of those traps that drove her insane. And so she named him Digit. He was really her favorite. She really spent an enormous amount of time with him. And then one night he was murdered by poachers. And she literally went mad with grief. I mean, she just couldn't handle it. It's like, you know, your favorite child has just died. And Fortunately, at that point, friends got her back to the United States, and she went to teach in Cornell. She was voted the favorite teacher there. She had a successful lecture tour. She went on Johnny Carson. She wrote her book, Gorillas in the Mist. She got healthy. She was very sick in the wilderness. And I always thought that the sad moment was that she really could have stayed in the United States and then just gone back to her research station from time to time. You know, most animal researchers do that. Very few animal researchers stay out for longer than a few years. But she had to be back with the gorillas. And it was the decision to go back to be with them that really sets up her murder and the end of her life. The story could have gone a different way. I guess that was the thing that was so sad to me as I was working on it, that there really could have been a different end to this story. But she was 53 when she died, and she had accomplished more in, by the way, 53 years than many people accomplish in a much longer lifetime. And in the end, she did save these animals.
And I thought it was particularly moving that she was finally laid to rest, along with Digit and other gorillas.
Yeah, she had a gorilla graveyard back by her cabin, and she put Digit there, and the other gorillas are there. And there's a beautiful stone that over Diane, which says, "Now you are at peace, where you finally belong, at home." And she is at least there at home with the gorillas.
The book is Unforgotten, The Wild Life of Diane Fossey and Her Relentless Quest to Save Mountain Gorillas. And this is the final book in a trilogy that you've written about female researchers who study primates. Tell us about those other two women as well. And what did those three researchers have in common?
Well, Jane Goodall was the first, and she was recruited by Lewis Leakey to study chimpanzees and in Tanzania. And she really is the one who breaks the mold of how animal research is supposed to go. She doesn't give them numbers. She names them. She's not trained as a scientist. I mean, eventually she gets a PhD, but she didn't even go to college. I mean, she was she had secretarial training, but Leakey thought that she could do a wonderful job of observing chimpanzees, and she makes great breakthroughs in that research. The third is Birute Galdakas. She was the youngest of the crowd. She did have a PhD, and she went to Borneo to study orangutans. And by the way, she's still in Borneo. She never left. She stayed at her research station. If I needed to get in touch with her while I was working on the book, I had to wait till she came in with the rainy season. You know, there was otherwise, I mean, they don't have internet there. She has no modern conveyance there. I mean, she really is out still rehabilitating and with the orangutans. I think that what all these women have in common is that they're all true believers. They found a cause that was greater than themselves. They gave everything they had to it. They let no roadblock stop them. They, you know, found funding when there was no way to find funding. They found ways to save the animals when there was no way to do that. And all of them really dedicated their lives to something that they believed in and that they wanted to preserve for the generations after them. And all, by the way, have been successful in doing that. So to me, that all together, the trilogy just basically proves the old dictum. If you find work you love, you never have to work a day in your life. You know, you can be engaged in something that you really care about for the rest of your life. And they are all very similar in that regard.
Again, this book is Unforgotten, The Wild Life of Diane Fossey and Her Relentless Quest to Save Mountain Gorillas. It's by Anita Silvey. Anita, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for bringing me back on the program.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.